Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's what God wants you to be blessed this year. He wants your blessing. You know, the blessing of God is not something, you know, I don't know what people expect of the blessing of God, but the blessing of God should be something that shows up, something that's seen, something that manifests. People need to know that you're blessed by your God. See, I'm a big believer in this that, you know, I don't believe Christians should go through the same things in life as other people do. We might have the same trials and temptations that people get, but we should go through them a whole lot different than the rest of the world does. There should be a different manifestation of things. You know, and I've learned over the years, it's just in the areas like with healing and things. You know, the Lord spoke to Kenneth Hagin about healing. He talked to him about divine healing. But he said, if a person goes to a doctor, he said, I want to help them. And he said, you pray that they'll have a quick recovery. Every Christian should have a quick recovery. They should not go through recovery times like the rest of the world does. That's the will of God. The will of God is for us to have a quick recovery. We shouldn't be going. Now, you know, we can sit and look at it and go all kind of our ideas on it. But that's what God said. So you got a plan to have what God says. We should have more. Why? Because our God wants to give us more. What good is our God if he ain't doing anything? What's the point of it? What's the point of serving him if he's not doing anything? What is it? What is the point of believing and trusting in him if I can only get what the people get that don't trust him? What's the point? We should have more. You know, if anybody should have joy in this day and time, it should be the Christians. We shouldn't be the whiners. We shouldn't be the complainers about the things that are going on and the things that are happening. We should be the people that have joy. We should be the people that have something good to say about things going on. Hallelujah. We should have an optimistic outlook. That was one of the things that Kenneth Hagin prophesied, I think it was back in 1987, about being an optimist. God spoke through him and he said about being an optimist. We're supposed to be optimistic. We're not supposed to be pessimists. A lot of Christianity is pessimists, filled with them, and they wonder why it don't work, because there is nobody who's a pessimist whose faith works. It never works. It can't work. Pessimist faith can't work. So, hallelujah. If you thought you would believe you were going to get something good, would you be a pessimist? Hallelujah. Well, last week, while I was ministering, at the end, the Lord said, and it came up in me. I wasn't going to say anything about it. I hadn't even planned on it. It came up in me that I was going to be talking about some things dealing with the year coming up. And when I said that, I thought, what am I going to talk about the year coming up? I thought about that. I went home and I thought, you know, I said I was going to talk about the week coming. Lord, I know that came up out of me because I had no plans of talking about things that was coming up this year. But the Lord just spoke to me then this week about some things of going back is looking at things at scripture, some things from a scriptural standpoint. You know, there's things that we can know that from year to year, there are going to be certain things. There's things in life, you know, everybody faces, and we're going to talk about the areas if you saw in the bulletin, I'm talking about the testing of your faith is what the Lord began to speak to me about, because in this year, we need to be very careful as Christians, as we have certain words that we take that become negative words to us. Other words we make and they're seem positive. Lots of times we take good words. You know, I want to tell you, here's a good word and you need to understand it. It's a four-letter word and it's a wonderful word. It's test. You need to understand this, you know. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith you can't please God. But I want you to know this. Without test, your faith will never develop. Tests and the trials and the things we go through in life are the things that make us what we are. Either in tests and trials, we learn to take them as an experience. It's like Kenneth Hagin, I remember him when I was just a young Christian, and he made this statement. He said, when you're going through the tests and trials of life, he said, you need to look at them, and this is another opportunity for me to prove that God's word works. Well, when I heard him say that at the time, I thought, yeah, that's easy for you to say. but as I've gone along in life, you need to understand this. It's just like in natural life. In natural life, testing and stuff is something you need. Look, God doesn't test you to prove something to him. Testing's about proving you to you. You need to learn to know what you can go through and what you can't. You can sit down and listen to teaching. You know, one of the things is we have today from the educational field has really changed from what it did when I was, in doing more in education. Today, education is all mostly, they give you a theory. It's all talk. And there's not little doing. But you know, doing, you have to have the doing. You know, theory isn't everything. When I was in the service, I was trained in electronics. And so they sent me through at that time in the Army. I mean, a lot of things have changed today. Electronics has changed a lot. But when I was in, I was a microwave systems technician, which was really considered one of the highest schools that you could go through to learn electronics, because actually we were supposed to be able to repair any of the Army's electronic equipment, no matter what it was. We were supposed to know how to do it. And so we went through classes where they gave us engineering, you know, electronic engineering. We had classes on that, and then we had classes, you know, just, we would build, in fact, our test equipment. We would build our own test equipment that we would use. They had us do that kind of stuff. You learned things about electronics. Well, one thing is, I often looked at is the fact there were numbers of people maybe that were better than me on the theory side. But there's one thing as I learned, and that was how to troubleshoot. You know, I found out that people that were really the theory people, they thought too much. They were into thinking all the time. And it's one of the things, when you go over to troubleshooting, there are procedures that you just follow, and no matter what, you don't ever change the procedures. To me, that was easy. There are certain things that you do that you follow to find out what a problem is. And so after we went through our courses and we went out on the field and we were working on equipment and we got sent out to different places and began to work on equipment, I found out that the guys that were really good at theory were not necessarily very good at troubleshooting. Well, one of the things, you want to keep the equipment running. I don't care what you know. They're only interested in you keeping that thing going. That's the only thing that the Army was interested in. They didn't care how much you thought you knew. And they didn't go look at your test scores. They wanted that thing running. And so I was good at it. I was good at troubleshooting. And I could find problems and things. I knew it. But to me, it was very easy because they set up troubleshooting procedures. And if you followed those procedures, they worked. But thinkers would always do this. They would always jump from one, well, you know, let's go over and look at this. And they would bypass a couple of steps. And what happens is they wouldn't find out where problems were. And I found you just follow them like they're said. Well, you need to learn to do that concerning the Word of God. And it's one thing is you need to come to the place where you can do the Word. You have to be able to do it. I don't care, and God don't care, and the devil don't care what you know. Your success in life is what you do with what you know. That's your success. Your success is not based upon you believe in God and you made a confession. If you ain't doing it, James said, your confession is dead. Your faith died. You got to be able to do it. And this is what you want to learn to do, is to do the Word of God, is to begin to practice. This is why his tests are good. See, when I was in the service, what they would do is, in our testing us, which I really liked it because it was really helpful to me, they would have equipment and they would put bugs in these equipment, you know, not real insects, but they would put problems in there. And then this was your test. This is how you went and took your tests. And then you had theory tests, but then you had these tests where you had a certain amount of time. You had to find the problem, what was wrong with the equipment. I mean, I used to knock them out like crazy. I just knock those things out. I just followed those procedures that they taught us what to do. You know, one of the most interesting things that they had on there, the number one thing, always to make sure that the things plugged in is you have power to whatever you got. Now, you think that there sounds silly to you? You wouldn't believe how many times people are doing things. They got no power to what, and they're trying to fix it. They're trying to work on this thing. And they're trying to do something. People do that all the time. Don't have it plugged in. They don't check. There's no power. See, they have things you check. You check to have power. If the thing was plugged in and there was power coming out of there to it, then you checked your power supply to make sure. And you went over to your power supply and made sure that all your different voltages and stuff and things that you needed out of that power supply to the system, it was putting those out. Because sometimes you have a thing may have 10 or 15 different, you know, of voltages that are in that you need to run the system. That go to different things. And so you found those out. So you follow those, you know, and if you did, okay, they're all there. Now you're moving down through. So you follow a signal and you just follow it through the entire thing until you run into where things aren't right. And to me, that's a very simple thing to do. See, I like that. And see, the Word of God is a lot like that too. See, you got to follow. If you follow procedures, God gives you procedures on what to do. You know, God told Joshua what to do. He said, you meditate in the Word day and night. Well, most Christians don't do that. Most Christians spend most of their time meditation on all kind of other stuff. But you spend time meditating day and night. He said, why? So you can do it. So you start doing it. You want to become good at something? Start doing it. Start doing it. Start doing it. Not talking about it. Just confessing it. Hey, it's good to confess the Word. But start doing what it says. Start acting on it. You start to do what it says, and the, you know what? Very simple. Don't be surprised you start having results. It's very easy. It's not hard to do. And so, but we want to talk about it because there's tests and trials that come along. And really, when Kenneth Hagin said, you know, said, made this statement, he said, your faith, he said, great faith comes through great trials. Isn't that what you, isn't that exciting? Great faith comes. See, everybody's trying to have great faith. Now, here's how most people are trying to have great faith. If I just listen to teaching enough on faith, I don't have great faith. If I'm just listening to the Word all the time and just don't, no, I learn. Your faith is developed through what you do. You start practicing and start doing things. Something's made strong. You can read all the books on bodybuilding, but until you start lifting weights, you ain't getting strong. It don't matter how much you know about bodybuilding. It doesn't matter what you do in life or the things. You have to put it to practice. And if you want to get your body strong, you got to start lifting the weights. Now, sure, it might have been good to read and know what to do about it, but you have to do it. The Bible's the same way. You're going to have to do that. The things and the pressures you're going to go through. Many times we don't realize this as we go through things in life and we're going through and we think, well, what's wrong? What's wrong with my faith? I'm having this problem. You need to understand, you need that problem to develop your faith. It's not a bad thing. That's why Kenneth Hagin said, when you come and run into a problem, hey, this is a wonderful time to prove the Word of God's true. Why? It's going to be do something for you. If you ain't ever had God do very much, you know, I had two times God saved me from death. Well, you know what? I have a place to stand that people have never gone through that. They can't stand there. They don't. I've experienced at it and I know it works. Most people, all they have is somebody else's testimony. They ain't ever gone through nothing. And anytime something comes along, they're looking for the easy way out. See, you know, there's this one thing is electricity. Electricity, and I learned this in the service, electricity always seeks the path of least resistance. There's most Christians today. That's most Christians. They're always seeking the path of least resistance, and they're never developing and growing. We develop and grow in times of resistance. We don't like to have that, but I'm sorry, that's the way it is. In these last days, have you noticed it's going on? There's a lot of resistance out here. There's a lot of things happening. You know, persecution's a good thing. Most Christians don't think it is. You know, there's a lot of people in this nation would like to take, you know, they don't want us preaching the gospel. They don't want us to. They want us going along with all whatever they're doing. You know, it's like, this is a wonderful time. See, I found out what I'm made of, whether I'm a complainer. See, they want to stop. I don't surprise the devil wants to stop me. But you know what? I don't need a lawyer to take care of me. You know, we get over into all these things and people getting over here and all these court battles and all this kind of stuff. They tell me I can't preach the gospel. We're going to preach it. They send me to jail. I used to work in a jail. They don't want to send me to jail because I'll preach. I'll cause them more trouble. We'll bless people. We want this comfortable life, what we call comfort. But it's no comfort. The people that are looking for a life of comfort are the biggest whiners we got. They're the whiners. I mean, think about it. I mean, I've often looked at the things, you know, it's like, I know Mike and them, Mike, you know, follows a lot concerning the Second World War and the Second World War things. If you sit around and look at the people of the Second World War, ones that were in the war and fighting that kind of stuff, they weren't gripers and complainers. Yeah, look what they went through. We got all these whiners today. You know? People whining and complaining. You know, going through things in life, I was in Vietnam and stuff, and this whining and crying, I'm just so tired of listening. I'm so tired of listening to Christians whining. They know nothing about faith. They don't, they talk about this faith stuff, but it's all about, you know, everything going good. It's not going to all go good. It's learning to step out there when things aren't going good and turn it into good. That's what faith's about. You don't need any faith if nothing's happening. You don't need it. What's a, you would, why, I'm believing God for, you know, something and I don't need it. I just am believing for it. You know, what for? You know, we face problems and troubles and we believe God overcoming. And this is one of the tests and trials of life. And we need to come into this thing and understand we're in a period of time. The Lord spoke to me this week coming up into this year. It's a time of testing. Last year was a lot of testing for me on things because my desire to step into more. If you want more, you're going to run into testing. You just want to stay where you're at and in what you got? Stay in that what you got? Well, you'll probably lose ground eventually anyhow. But if you want to go ahead, see, people keep wanting more, but it requires more. You know, it's like Paul said, God found him faithful, put him into ministry. He didn't put him in a ministry just because he called him. I found that out over the years. Loads of people went in the ministry because they were called and they ain't in the ministry today. They're gone. I know lots of people graduated me at Rhema. I ain't in the ministry no more. They were in the ministry a little while and gone. You don't go because you're called. You go because you're sent. Did you come to the point that God found you faithful, he could put you in the ministry? Well, you know, it's just like that in life. You know, it isn't how much you know. It's like I found out, like talking to business people today, as different businessmen I'm talking about, they said, you know, we get these people coming out of college today, and they have no experience in life. They ain't got nothing, or they don't know how to do nothing. But they come, and they just expect to be managers, and they expect to be running things. No experience at nothing. They haven't proven themselves in a thing, but they're walking in, and they want to run stuff. He said, they think they know it all now, but he said they have no experience in life. See, you need experience. You know, experience will trump the guy who has learned a lot every time. There's nothing beats experience. You have as much education as you want. But the guy who has the experience in doing it, whatever the job is the guy that's going to be the best at it. I say, we need to understand that. This is why, you know, if you want to learn things, which is wonderful, but putting it to work and learning to walk in it and developing it, because what happens is this, the more you develop confidence in what you do, the more that confidence grabs other people. The Lord told me that when I first got born again. He said, the more you develop and you learn how to walk in this thing, he said, your confidence. And see, let me tell you this. Confidence is based in experience, not in learning. Not in theory. You don't get confidence in theory. You get confidence in doing it. Acting on it. You see, I've acted on the Word of God over the years, have seen miraculous things take place. That's where my confidence lies. I know the Word works. I know it does. See, somebody can stand up. This is why today we have, and really is one of the greatest problems we have over in what I call the faith people, is we have mostly theory teachers, no experience. We have ministers standing and have no experience in divine healing at all, teaching divine healing. They have no experience in it whatsoever. They never got divine healing one time in their life. They've always gone to the doctor for everything. Folks, you need to understand these things. If you want to be confident in something, you got to be doing that. I'm not trying to tell you something. When I started walking and following Brother Hagin way back in the early 80s, I learned this is how you do it. I learned it from him. See, Jesus appeared to him and told him, it's a difference, but he said divine healing is without any kind of aid whatsoever, doctors or anything. That's what Jesus told Dr. Kenneth Hagin. He said, now if a person can't believe it, they go to a doctor, pray for them for a quick recovery. But see, what we have today, we've dumped it all into one bag, mixed it up, and we're trying to get what you can't get the way they're doing it. You can't get it. We're trying to get divine healing going to the doctor. Now, I ain't against going to a doctor. I'm not against it at all. But you need to understand, see, a person can use going to the doctor if they know how to use their faith. Something will lead them to where they learn how to get divine healing. But if they don't get over there where they get tested, see, tested, you're going to have to get tested. And many times in testing, you're going to have to put yourself in a position where you're going to find a place you're going to believe God, and you're not going to go along with what everybody else is going with and says you have to do. You see, there's a level. God wants to take us to deeper levels this year. Last year, God has taken me back into some things that I'd walked in years ago, and I'm back into it and into some new things. Some new understandings about some things. But I see us going back over from when I came into the kingdom and today, the teaching on divine healing is at about this level. It was at this level when I came into the kingdom. And today it's down here, and we wonder why we don't see as much and we don't have as much. Well, number one, people, the level that it's taught is where it's going, you're going to be. And most people will be below the level taught. They'll be below it. They'll be down below that. So we're going to have to raise the bar on some of these things if we want to see greater things happen. But one of the things it is, it's going to test you. Raising the bar puts the test on you of where you're going to stand. What test do you want to take? You decide. You decide a lot about testing in your life, how far you will go, how far when things come along. You know, I found it interesting because, you know, in August, with the Lord, the prophecy that the Lord gave me through Randall Greer, which really didn't surprise me. I'd been spending a lot of time in prayer talking with the Lord about things, and I'd been spending, when the Lord spoke to me about it. And then, so we came along till October, the devil tried to kill me. It didn't work. But the whole thing was, see, tests come. The devil's not going to roll over and just let you go to the next level. He's not going to do it. See, if you want more, you think the devil's going to just go lay down and say, well, God, I'm after more. And the devil's going to go lay down somewhere and he ain't going to pay any attention to you and let you just go on to things. No, he's not. And you need to know this. You know, we look at scripture and from the scripture standpoint, you know, did you ever think about Jesus? I mean, now here, you know, Jesus went to John the Baptist, and he went to John and told John, he went there, he said, I have to be baptized by you. John said, you ought to be baptizing me. He said, no, all righteousness got to be fulfilled. He said, you baptize me. So we see the Holy Ghost came on him, the Holy Spirit came on him. But we find this happened when that took place. Now see, it's just, oh man, isn't this wonderful? Wow, now I got the Holy Ghost. And so what's the next step? The Holy Ghost leads him in the wilderness to be tempted. To be tested. I've always thought that, you know, people say, you know, we need that Jesus is our pattern and all this kind of. The Christians hate Jesus as the pattern. That's the last guy they want to follow. They want something else. Every time I have stepped into a level that's higher, there's always something come against me. It's never ceased. You know, when the Lord said this to years ago, and you guys heard me talk about this, and I learned from, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, I learned from Kenneth Hagin because he had experience. See, I was more interested in his experience than a lot of people were interested. People listened to it, they thought it were stories. They didn't realize they were experiences of how to walk through stuff. And, he said, the Lord told him this. He said, I allowed you to go through things that you went through so you could teach my people faith. I remember him saying that. In other words, there's things that he went through. There's tests and stuff that he went through in life that God allowed him to go through. So why? He could teach people faith. In other words, you need experience to teach faith. Boy, we don't teach that. We teach, you just find out what the Bible says and go tell people. That's what Jesus told him. And then one day, after numbers of years of studying and ministering along the line, the Lord spoke to me about it. He said to me, he said, I allowed you to go through things just like Kenneth Hagin's. He said, you could teach my people faith. And he told me this. He said, you tell people this. If they will listen to what you say and do what you say, they'll get healed every time. That's what he told me to tell people. Well, it's the truth. It's the truth. It ain't blowing me up. It's the Bible. But see, you want to have Bible experience. You don't want to just have Bible knowledge. You want to have Bible experience. The Bible is of no value as words in a page. It's of no value. It don't do nothing as words in a page. It's a life. It's a way you live and it's a way you do things. It's the way you start to act on these things. Are they true? You know, the Bible says, you know, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. We have to stop. Do you really believe that? Have you ever sat down and really thought about if you actually believe that? Most Christians will say that Jesus took our sin, but they still don't even believe that. They still, well, you're just going to sin. You're just going to, you know. You know, it's just the way we are, you know. He didn't really set us free after all. You know, you're just going to, you know, we're just people. I'm not just people. I'm a new creation. That's who I is. You got to decide what you are. The Bible's true. You see, we got to decide what we believe. You know, it's by His stripes we were healed. Do you really believe that you were? It'll change what you do. The day that you come and you believe that's true, you will not act the same ever again after that. I never acted the same again after that. And I got that revelation. I was only born again maybe, probably about 4 or 5 months. And you guys have heard me tell the story, but it's how I learned. I asked the Lord, I'd heard Kenneth Hagin listening to tapes of his, and I'd listen, he'd talk about doing the Word. For some reason, I said, Lord, what do you mean? What does he mean when he says do the Word? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to act this thing out? In other words, there's stuff you gotta do. Smith Wigglesworth said, faith is an act. Gee, we were always told it was a confession. Well, he had 19 people raising the dead under his ministry. I figured he knew a little bit more about it than the guys that were just saying it's a confession. Now, faith, part of it, you know, there's three parts of faith. It's believing, saying, and doing. Three parts. You can have the believing, and you know what it produces? Nothing. You can have the believing and saying and produce nothing. You can have the believing, saying, doing, you got it. You'll get something. So I'll never forget. I wanted to know. I said, Lord, what does he mean? I want to know what it means to do the Word. And you know what happened? I got a test. I got a test. And you know what? He taught me something about doing what the Word said. He taught me about doing the Word. And in that, I'll never forget, I was laying in bed there. I worked at H.B. Reese Candy Company. I'd get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning, go to work. And I remember laying there and thoughts just came to me. I woke up and I'll tell you what, my stomach cramps. I was sick. I was just feeling bad. See, I don't know about you. See, most people, I found out people are really different amongst each other. I hate being sick. I don't dislike being sick. I hate being sick. This has helped me immensely in the areas of divine healing. Because most people will put up with sickness. They will. They'll tolerate it. I hate it. You know what? You got to hate sin. Or you'll keep doing it. If you don't hate it, you'll tolerate it. But anyhow, so I'm laying there and I'm just feeling really bad. And I'm laying there and this thought just went through my mind. I didn't say anything. I never made a confession or nothing. But I just thought, I'm going to call off work and then I'll just believe God to be healed. And that's all that went in my mind. That's the thought came to me. And down on the inside of me, this voice says, if you call off work sick, you're going to stay in bed sick all day. And you know what? It wasn't the devil talking. It was God. See, I was just a young Christian. I was just born again not long. But see, I asked God for something. Now he's going to take me to what I asked him for. He ain't going to do something bad to me. So, he asked me, next thing that came up inside of me was this question. Do you believe 1 Peter 2:24 is true? Well, I said yes, and then I quoted it. But I found out I didn't believe it was true. Because he said this to me. If you believe it, then why don't you get out of bed and act like you're healed? Oh, hold it. Hold it. Hold it. But I feel bad. See, I'm feeling bad. Well, 1 Peter 2:24 says that I am healed. See, I wanted to believe I was healed when I felt better. See, that ain't Mark 11:24. Mark 11:24 is believe you receive it for you have it. He's trying to lead me in line with the word. But I want to tell you, that day changed my life. That test that day changed my life. Is number one, I went along with the test. And it, to me at that time, it wasn't easy. I got out of bed and I felt terrible. And I can remember to this day, I can see myself in the bathroom, stomach cramps. I can't even look, I'm shaving, not even looking in the mirror. I can't even, every time I tried to stand up, I just felt, ugh. And I just felt awful. So, you know, and I got shaved, I got everything. Get ready to work, I put my clothes on. I went down, I got in the car, and I thought, I'm going to die. You know, I just said, oh, you just got shaved. I'm going to, what? He said, do you believe it's true? I said, yeah. Well, I went down and got in the car and started off to work. Until I got to work, every symptom had left my body. I was completely healed. And when I found out that thing worked, I never went again without having it work. Something would happen, I'd say, I'm healed, and I'd start acting like I'm healed. Now, that's hard for most people to do. Most people, this is why one of the things, and let me just say this to you, why a lot of people have a hard time going to the doctor. I'll tell you why they have a hard time with it. Is because the doctor will give you a list of things you can't do. And most people will obey the doctor on everything the doctor says. And the doctor said, you ain't going to take you 8 weeks to get better. They'll run around and tell everybody, it's 8 weeks. It's going to take me. They can't have a quick recovery. It's impossible. God would have to do it outside of their faith. But they couldn't be involved in it. It's like I've seen my wife, you know, she, you know, like my wife, you send her to a doctor, you know, and especially, you know, when she had a foot operation, a doctor told her, I don't know, was that 6 or 8 weeks you weren't supposed to be wearing a shoe? Something like that. And anyhow, she said, ain't no way, I'm not, she loves shoes. She's putting shoes on her feet, man. She don't care what doctor says. You know, that poor guy, he could figure out whatever he wants. He does it. She ain't obeying the doctor. And I'll tell you, in a couple of weeks, she's running around with her shoes on, her foot's fine. The doctor can't figure out what's going on. Well, actually, she ought to be in pain. But see, something supernatural happened because she acted in a way to do something. She could have sat and confessed all she wanted to about her foot. What does she start putting shoes on them feet? She started acting like she was healed, you know. She started acting like it was so. You know, the doctor told her, but she had a heart valve operation and said, you know, she couldn't drive for how many weeks was that? Six weeks? She couldn't drive for 6 weeks. And was it 2 weeks we went back to the, 2 weeks we went back to see the surgeon. 2 weeks walked back. She was doing so well. I looked in and he said, you drove here, didn't you? And he told her, ain't no reason you ain't driving. But see, she didn't sit around. When everybody else, all these things you got to do. See, you need to understand this is the way it works. I'm not trying to tell you something's hard. But if you're going to do and confess everything that the world says you have to do to arrive to a point, you can't have God get involved in it. I'm not trying to make hard or weird. But see, we have all this stuff that you can just do it like the world says and believe God and get it. You know, God has really been good to us in spite of our laziness. He's been good to us. You see, I found things were very hard to do. You know, I'll never forget, you know, I had a toe and it was infected and that stuff. And I sit there and cleaned the thing out and that stuff and that. Going to work. See, I had one of those things. See, you go to work. The thing is, I believe I'm healed. See, I'm saying I believe I'm healed. So I got to put a shoe on that thing. Oh, was that exciting? Getting up in the morning to go to work to put a shoe on that thing. I was having fun. And I was never so glad to get in the car and get pressure off that foot. Praise God, I'm healed. And I remember driving in the parking lot, H.B. Reed's Candy Company, you know, and you couldn't park close to the door, you know, you're far away in the parking lot. And I remember I got out of the car and I remember stepping out because it was my left foot and I had to step out the door of the car and my left put the pressure on that foot to get out of the car. This was exciting. I'm having a great time. He said, I'm going to tell you tests are easy, but I'm going to tell you I love the results when you act on the Word of God. And I stepped out and I put pressure on that foot and it hurt. And I got out and I stood up and I closed the door in the car and I started across the parking lot and, oh man, put pressure on it. Finally, I stopped and I said, that's it. This is enough. I said to myself, I'm putting my pressure on this foot and I'm walking across that parking lot. And I just started walking like I was normal. Oh, my. It was fun. Got halfway across the parking lot and boom, healed just like that. Never had any pain in that toe after that at all. Never. Folks, I'm teaching you. See, this year, we need to go further into things. We need to take jumps beyond. See, I learned a thing in finances. It works the same way. See, people are believing God for money, but they're always doing things to act like they ain't got it. You know, my wife and I, we learned over the years, you want to go on a good vacation, this is what you do. You plan your vacation. You don't plan money first. You plan the vacation, and then you go tell everybody you're going on it when you ain't got a nickel to pay for it. And you know what? I have never come to the place that we went and didn't have the money to pay for it. Always do. We always act like the money's going to come. It's got to come in. I called it in. It's got to come in. I'm going to do it. I make hotel reservations. I do all the stuff and do everything. I've learned how to do that. You got to act like it's true. You got to miss most people. Well, when they get the money, then they're going to start doing it. Then we'll call and make a reservation. Then we'll do this and then we'll do that. The world can do that. Anybody can do that. That doesn't require any faith. And see, don't go out and just do that. If you ain't never done it before, don't just go run out there and do that. You know, get your faith up to a place of what you can believe for. But my wife and I started believing God for $20. That's the first thing we ever believed finances for. We heard about it, $20. And to us, that seemed like a big step, you know. We never seen no money come in for nothing like that. And we believed God for $20. And my wife come home one day, she's just all giddy and she's just all excited. She's walking down the street, nobody around anywhere, and a $20 bill blows up the street to her feet. Man, when we found out God can blow $20 bills up, that changed everything. That changed our lives. See, then we started stepping out into things, and we started going out into things. But once we found out that these things work, but we found this out. You got to work them. You got to work them. Faith really is an act. Acting like it's true. Folks, it's not easy to do. This is why we sit around in a world today. And this is one thing, it's like science. Science talks about, well, you know, people of faith, they think it's some kind of strange thing that people have faith. And it is, because I look at most people and they're talking about faith. It is a strange thing. I don't know what they're talking about. Because they're never acting like it's true. They live, now understand this, faith is about the unseen realm. You're believing for what you cannot see and you cannot feel. If you can feel it and see it, you don't have to have no faith for it. You don't need a lick of faith for what you see and feel. Faith is about what you can't see, can't touch, taste, or smell, and you believe you have it. You believe you got it. When you can't see it, you believe it belongs to you. You believe God gave it to you before you see it. You aren't in faith if you're not doing that. You're not in faith. You believe that God gave it to you before you see it. That's what faith does. Do you know that's how you come into the kingdom? You know, when I got born again, I didn't feel nothing. You know, people say, oh, I felt this great weight go off of me. I didn't feel a thing. I got born again in my house, but you know what? There was manifestation showed up so much when my wife got saved, because she said, I'm living with a different man. Change life. See, a manifestation of something. I started acting like it was true. I accepted Christ and I just, you know, I did. And I even started seeing myself. I became a different person. But the night I got saved, when people talk about all this big change, I didn't feel no change that night. All I knew was this, is I did the right thing. That's all I knew. I had no more than that. You know, I've heard people come and tell me these testimonies of how great they felt and that stuff, and they never lived much of a godly life. I'm not most interested in somebody's feeling. I'm interested in a lifestyle change. That's what I'm in. I needed a lifestyle change. I didn't need a feeling. I needed a different life, and I got one. Hallelujah. And faith brought that to me. Faith did that. Faith. See, I don't believe in faith that don't show up. If it don't show up, It ain't faith in God. It might be faith in something else, but it ain't faith in God. Faith in God, things show up. And you need to understand, it needs to come to the place, you need to arrive at the place that you look at tests and trials of life, that's not a negative to you. This is a wonderful stepping stone. When I found out, see, when to me, if any time trouble comes and you start, oh, it becomes a burden to you, you know you got a faith problem. If problems right away, you lose your joy, your peace and stuff, you got a problem. You got trouble. Now, I'm not saying it's criticize anybody. Now, understand, we're not criticizing. It's just a fact, and you need to, you know, there's times I look in the mirror and say, hey, buddy, you strap up. You're doing wrong. If you don't do that to you, somebody will get fed up with you one day and tell you. Maybe, hopefully. but you got to look. I can look in the mirror and say, hey, hold it. You know, the other day here, I wanted to be depressed. And I thought, this is nuts. I ain't got no reason to be depressed. What am I feeling depressed about? I thought, this is the stupidest thing. I ain't putting up with this. I refuse to be depressed. We're not going there. That ain't me. I ain't Mr. Depression. I ain't going there. I will not have it. I'm not putting up with it. Ed, act right. So you don't put you keep waiting for something on the outside to do something to move over. You're waiting for Harry Potter to show up and wave a wand. Forget it. It ain't happening. Hallelujah. We got the wand, the wheel in our mouth. Start to stay and start confessing the word over you. Make yourself, get yourself in a position. The tests and trials come. Come on. Hallelujah. We're going to go through this thing, man. I'm coming out on the other side. I'm going to be better than I was when I entered this. I'm going to a higher level. This is about taking me somewhere. You know, Jesus went out there and he went through the temptations and the tests and trials he had there in the wilderness. But it's interesting. Now you need to know this. Now after he went through it, the scripture says this in Matthew, then angels came and ministered to him. See, this is where faith people miss it. They always want the angels to come first. Now come on, the angel shows up and he gives me strength to go through this thing. They don't want to go through anything. No, I want to find out what I'm made out of. Don't you? Do you really want to find out what you really are? I found out sometimes I didn't like the guy I ran into. Wasn't much fun, that dude. And he needed to change. But see, pressure brings you the place of finding out what you really are. Most people complain when pressure comes on somebody else. My wife would have straightened out. I'd have been a lot better off. I'll tell you. It was just, you know, one of those things. No, I found out, you know, what my wife does, if it changes me from the standpoint of what I am, then there's something wrong with me. There's not something wrong with her. Because, see, I got to be able to face problems and troubles, and you can't face them. You'll never make right decisions whining about the other person. Because you'll never make a right decision about you. You won't change. Woo, this is good preaching. I ain't got no notes on it, but it's good. And I'm telling you this, why? Experience. I've gone through this. I've tripped up and fell on my face loads of times. I've gone through these things. And I've learned over time what you got to do to succeed. I've learned what you got to do to say, I ain't going to be depressed. I ain't going to let this. Things are coming my way. Problems are coming. I can't yield to them. I can't go over and let them dominate me. You know? See, when the word's true to you, you're not acting, you know, it's not just an act of what you're doing when you're acting like, you know, well, you know, this guy, he's really got a lot of problems, but he's acting like he don't. No, faith is about, I know I have the problems. That's why I got faith. Faith says they're taken care of. That's why I can smile. Faith is not denying something exists. Faith is saying this. I don't believe it's staying there at all. I believe I got the answer. It's mine. Hallelujah. And you act like it's true. That's what faith does. And it's a wonderful thing. When I learn about this faith thing, revolutionized my life, changed everything. I couldn't believe it. how things were different. But one of the things that I learned is how acting on the word is beginning to act on it. Now, God never called me to a 40-day fast. He did Jesus. And he was tempted, and he says he was tempted of the devil. 40 days it says he was tempted. We see the temptation. We see the temptation of the three things, questions. But that wasn't the whole thing went on. It says he was tempted 40 days in the wilderness, the Bible says. I'm going to tell you what. You know it happens because when you miss lunch, you know what happens to you. Do you get tempted? When you try to miss a meal to pray, oh yeah. Come on. 40 days of it. And when it was over, he said he was hungry. Understand this. Jesus' fast wasn't some supernatural fast. Knucklehead Christians think they ought to read the Bible sometime. It wasn't something. When he was done, it says he was hungry. I'm sure he was. See, we got to come to the place. We got to realize and understand. But you know what? This is where it's interesting. We use a scripture, and it's used all the time. People use it where Peter said in Acts how, you know, Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. It says he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. It didn't say he had the Holy Spirit, he had power. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit in power. You know, when Jesus got baptized by John, it said the Holy Spirit came on him. Do you know what it says in Luke when he left out of being in the wilderness tempted? It said he came out in the power of God. That's when Jesus got the power of God. It was after the temptation. See, we want no experience in power. You never give people who don't have experience power, they'll blow everything up. Oh yeah, give a baby a gun, see what happens. You don't give them things of power. You know, you don't want to. You know, the military uses nuclear weapons. Do you know that? Do you want everybody in the military having a nuclear weapon? No. Yeah. Christians want power, but I'll tell you, they'll pervert power. This is one thing as we learn and how to handle power. Tests and things that we go through teach us how to deal with power. See, we need to grow up. We don't like that idea of growing up so much, you know. I'll tell you what. I did a lot of whining growing up. I don't know about you. Maybe all of you just a lot more spiritual than me. You know, you do a lot of whining. You know, I like, you know, to me, you know, let's snap and have instantaneous. But yet I did. I've had a lot of instantaneous things happen. I've had a lot of instantaneous miracles and things have taken place. But I learned around what to do. It was like the Lord said to me, he told me the one of the reasons I did, because he said, you do extreme things. See, my actions are extreme. That's not they're extreme, they're weird, you shouldn't do them. But they're extreme to what most people will do. See, I'll do extreme things. See, I had a heart attack and went for a run. I never heard anybody ever do that. But see, I'm crazy. I said I believed I was healed. I was on the ground, knocked down from a heart attack, and said, I'm going to go for a run. See, but you know, now, it isn't the first experience that I'd had. So, you know, I had learned about this acting on the word. You know, I'd limped across the parking lot, all those things I had learned. Acting on the word. Somebody said, well, what symptoms do you have? It's like this. What symptom didn't I have? I had every symptom that they say that you have when you have a heart attack. Every one of them. I had them. And when I decided I was going to go for a run, I'll tell you what, things hadn't improved much. And I was feeling like I was dying. That's what I felt like. Felt like my life was slipping from me. What it felt like. And but see, there's one thing that I was mad. I was mad. Devil ain't killing me. I'm mad. But see, it's going to be on how how you set yourself. I'm not saying you have to do what I did on these things, but you're going to learn how to do something to go to another level. You're going to have to. Everybody does. If you're going to another level, you have to. You have to learn how to come along when the temptations of life come, the tests and trials. You got to look at them and say, this is about my success. It's not about my failure. God didn't lead Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for failure. It would have been really unrighteous of God to send him into that temptation if he couldn't handle it. Listen here. Here's what the scripture says. Let's read what the Bible says about temptation. Here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man. I've said this many times over the year. If you think, I've had people come to me and here's a person that you can't help. When a person comes and says, I have a problem and you just can't understand it. Well, if I can't understand it and that stuff, then you're going to be stuck with that thing forever. When you think you got a special problem, you're staying in it. You ain't getting out of it. Things that happened to us, I've watched this over the years in dealing with people, and I've seen people in worse problems, but they weren't whining and complaining all the time, but were in worse problems. They're problems I wouldn't have wanted. And watch them go through them, and my God, I thought, man, they're standing. They're just, wow! You know, it just encourages you. You know, it's like, whoa, next time I have a problem, I don't have to not gripe about that. I just look what they're putting up with. Look what they're doing. You see, it's common. But God is faithful. Here's you got to come to. It isn't the problem. What is matter? The problems are common to everybody. God's faithful. It's stated here, God's faithful. Why would he step God's faithful? Because sometimes he's going to help you and sometimes he's not. He said he's faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. See, I've always known, as any attacks have ever come on me, I've always known, I can get through this thing. I can go through it. I can go through this thing. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. See, when you look at problems come, you have to... I'm going through this thing. Hallelujah. God's getting me out of this, baby. I'm going through. That's what this thing's about. That's what it's about here. Now, the Bible in basic English says this. You have been put to no test but such as common to man. God's true, who will not let any test come on you which you are not able to undergo, but he will make with the test, a way out of it, so that you may be able to go through it. I like that. No matter what the test. See, it's a guarantee. God just gave a guarantee. I'm going to tell you, take the guarantee. Every Christian ought to be meditating on that thing till they believe it's true. No matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening, glory to God, God's faithful. I'm getting through this thing. Hallelujah. Now, here, listen to the Amplified on this. Now, the Amplified does really good. It amplifies it really well. I like this. No temptation, regardless of its source, has overtaken or enticed you that is not common to human experience, nor is any temptation unusual or beyond human resistance. But God is faithful to His Word. He is compassionate and trustworthy. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability to resist. But along with the temptation, he has in the past and is now and will always provide the way out as well, so that you will be able to endure without yielding and will overcome temptation with joy. Oh, I like that. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, devil, we're at it now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, when we look at ourselves, you got to get that pessimism out of you, that pessimistic view, that thing when you enter a trial that you come to a place God wants to put you over, but you're looking at it in a sorry way. You know, just, oh, yeah, I got to go. And wonder why. Well, I'm believing God to help me. Yeah, pray for me. No, no, you don't bother. Just waste my time saying words. Say, glory to God, I'm going through this. Hallelujah. Agree with me, I'm coming out of this. Say, hallelujah, God's given me the way out. He ain't no liar. Glory to God, He's faithful. Let me read that Amplified again, because I think the Amplified is really wonderful on it. Hallelujah. It says, no temptation, regardless of its source, has overtaken or enticed you that it is not common to human experience, nor is any temptation unusual or beyond human resistance. But God's faithful to His word. He is compassionate and trustworthy. And He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability to resist, but along with the temptation, He has in the past and is now and will always provide the way out as well, so that you will be able to endure it without yielding and will overcome temptation with joy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, I learned this when I found these things out. I realized that when Kenneth Hagin had spoken back when I was a young Christian and talked about, you know, going through trials and temptations, I realized he understood these things. He looked at them as a challenge. You know, as like, come on, devil. This is just another place for me to prove the word of God's true. See, you want to come to the place where you can face problems in life and you don't lose your joy. You still have joy. You need that. See, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. I want you to understand this. Your faith died when joy left. Your faith died when joy left. Your joy is a good measure of your faith. It is a good measure. If you believe you got it and it belongs to you, would you have a smile on your face or would you be whining? See, you got to ask yourself these questions. I've had to in life, I'd had to stop and say, you know, Ed, you ain't acting like, you're sitting there, you're believing God. You ain't believing God. You're acting like this thing going on is winning. Your actions don't line up with what you say you believe. See, that's when repentance is good. Stop saying, yeah, Lord, forgive me. Let's throw out this thing. Let's start this thing right off right now. Hallelujah. Let's start acting right. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, it was one of the things I've noticed this over the years. And I have seen it. I've learned, you know, from the standpoint of practice with myself, is people, I've watched people come up in prayer lines. And they come up for prayer. And they walk away just like they did. And I'm talking about Christians. I'm not talking about the world and what the world does. Most of the time I get a person in the world, I can get them healed. That's easy to do. But Christians will come, and you know what? You lay hands on them, and they walk away just like they ain't got nothing. They aren't, praise God, the power of God went in me. It's me. If somebody would touch me, praise God, the power of God went into me, and I'm well. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't care how I feel. I don't have nothing to do with nothing. But Christians will walk away. And, if you thought you got something, there should be a little bit of shouting going on. There should be a little, woo, glory to God. If somebody's going to lay hands on me, and this is what I do, it's just like when I go, if I go down to Randall Greer and he's ministering to ministers or something like he did, I always say this, he lays hands on me, the power of God's going into me. Hallelujah. I don't wait to go feel if something's going to happen. I just say, when he touches me, the power of God's going to go into me. I was down in Florida some meetings, and the guy laying hands on me, I think he almost got knocked down. I think it got him more than it did me. He said, my God, he said, you pull the power of God. Yeah, I said, I planned on my God here. See, people don't. They're going to see if they get something, if they get a feeling and they get something. No. I am going to get something. When I go and I'm touched, it's mine, whether I feel nothing or not. Hallelujah. Hands are laid on me. The power of God's going in me. It's going to heal my body. Hallelujah. My body's healed in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. That's faith. And then you walk away. See, actions of faith. Smile like it's true when you don't feel anything. Say, thank you, Lord, for healing me when you still got the limp. If you can't do that, you're never going to see too much of anything happening. I'm just telling you the truth. Folks, I know by experience how this thing works. And we got, this year it must change. It's gotta change. We want to step into the glory. We want the glory poured out. We want miracles and signs and healings. Let me just tell you this. It ain't gonna happen among the church people. It ain't gonna happen. The church people ain't getting it. It's gonna happen to the world. Jesus Christ told Kenneth Hagin, he said, I didn't put the gifts of healing in the name of Jesus in the church to heal the church. He said the church is supposed to be healed by the communion service of what belongs to them. They have a covenant of healing. That's how they're supposed to get healed. See, God's not going to deal with us. He expects more out of us. We call ourselves believers. My God, I am. I'm a believer. Hallelujah. I believe the Word of God. I believe it's true. I don't even know if they let me preach this at Rhema. It'd make them nervous anyhow. But I'm going to tell you what, I know it works. I've seen the glory of it. I've watched it. I've had instantaneous miracles, enough of them, many of them, to know how this thing works, what it does. I didn't think it up. Thank God I was taught by others, and others taught me the truth. But those days when his people leave the earth, they're not teaching it today. Most of the books on divine healing are all low-level things that won't get people much of anything. It's nothing but a bunch of candy. I'm going to tell you what, I'm tired of people being sick. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Hallelujah. My God, I ain't getting older, I'm getting better. Amen. Glory to God. I'm not sustained by my life. I'm sustained by the life that's in me. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, quickening my mortal body. Hallelujah. Healing is in my nature. It's in what I am. Glory to God. Health is in my nature. And it's in yours too if you're born again. It's your nature to be well. It's your nature to be whole. That's what God gave you. You've got God's life. Can God's life work death? No! Hallelujah! You have life and you're full of life. Glory to God. If you're waiting to feel it, forget it. You start acting like it's true, you might feel it. Hallelujah. But you start acting like it's true. And you expect it. I expect what's in me. I expect the Holy Ghost and the life that's in me. I expect it to manifest. I'm shocked if it don't. I expect it to. Hallelujah. See, we got to get over there to that place. Everybody, you know, really, what people don't realize, a lot of the faith message today has become feeling message. It isn't about faith anymore. It's about just having a confession and a feeling. And it's not. And it wasn't from the beginning. But people went over. You want a feeling? You act like it's true and you don't feel a thing. I'm going to tell you what, you probably end up feeling something. Glory to God. You know? If I would have went by the, I'm serious. If I'd have went this morning by the way I felt coming in here, I'd have went home and told you guys, pray for me. We'll see you later. But I know this. When I go start to minister, the anointing comes. I don't have to feel it to know it comes. I know when I step up there, God's a fool not to anoint me. He's a fool to give me a message and don't anoint me to preach it. He'd be an idiot. But I know the anointing will come. In fact, I had two messages he gave me. Yesterday he gave me a second one. And I said, what am I supposed to do with this one? And then he wouldn't tell me. And I had to wait till this morning till I got down here till I knew which one I was supposed to preach. We'll do the other one again sometime. Hallelujah. We will. No, maybe next week. I don't know. Anyhow, whatever he wants to do. But today, I want you to get a hold of this because coming into this year, these things are important. It doesn't matter what God says about the future coming up unless we start to walk in the light of the word that we have now. That's what changes the future. Hallelujah. God wants you well. He told me this when I was a young Christian, about 6 months old. He said, other than my people being born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, he said, the number one thing I want for my people, he said, is to be well. He said, that's number one on the list. Christians are trying to get all kinds of things. They're going after all kinds of stuff. He said the number one thing, he wants his people well. I've watched it in Christianity. I tell you, see, when I'm well, money, earning money ain't a hard thing to do. You can earn money if you're well. My God. Today, you can get a job easy because most people ain't going to want to work anyhow. So you can easily get a job, but you can make money. You'll never do the will of God sick. The devil will keep you pampering and patting your body. Well, you can't get out and do the will of God. You know, you can't be sick and he tells you he wants you to go to another nation. No, you'll stay home sick. He can't do it. You're limited. This is why he wants us well. He's not upset at us. He wants us well. He wants us whole and sound. We say, God, I want to do your will. And he says, get healed. Receive your healing. Take it. Hallelujah. Get well. He told me, he said, my people are well. He said, money's not a problem. He said, the devil steals my people's money by making them sick. He steals their money. You wouldn't have to believe for near as much money if you got one. Look what we pay for insurances. My God, for 1 year, if America would have the money that it pays out into hospital and into insurance and everything else, dear Lord, we'd pay off the national debt. But what do? I mean, even the Christians are pushing for more medical help, more medical help. They won't even go to God. They don't even go to God for help. God's always, you get sick, you find out what the doctor says, then let's see if we can get God believing in. We'll get believing God in there. God's, you know, second, third, or fourth along past our four other doctors. Then we're going to believe God. See, God doesn't come first. We have to come down the place. Is God really first? I want to know what it is. See, and I learned that a long time ago. Ain't nothing ever happens to me. He's number one. God's on the top of the list. I'm talking to him. I want to know what he has to say. A doctor doesn't get first voice into my life. Never. Never. I ain't against doctors. But you can talk to God and he'll talk back to you. Now think about it. Which would you rather have? Which do you want? Which means the most to you? But see, you'll set that pattern by the other things you do in your life where you don't talk to him or ask him till after everything else is gone. And then he gets down there, number 14 on the list. And then, you know, we got this problem. Maybe we ought to pray about it. And then what we do is we pray about it. We never really talk to him. And we never say, hey, Lord, what's wrong here? Most people pray and tell him they want the outcome that they want. They never stop and tell him, Lord, why has this ever happened to begin with? How did I get in this mess? Well, that'd be a good question to ask. But it may not hear what you'd like to hear. I've had to do that. I'll stop and I'll ask the Lord, you know. When here in October, the thing happened. I was sitting in an emergency room. And I said, Lord, is there anything? I said, what's going on here? Let me know. Is there anything I need to change? What I need to do? See, I wanted to find out first thing. See, I learned that from Kenneth Hagin. I learned that in prayer meetings with him. And when he'd pray. See, he'd pray it. He'd always ask God his opinion on something, not just what. Just because. See, we think, well, I'm just standing on the word. He used to say this. Brother Hagin used to pray and say, now, Lord, if you want to do something different, you let me know. I'll do anything you want me to do. See, we don't know about it. Now, I learned, I thank God I got to have those experiences and learned praying, asking God his opinions, asking God about things, not just taking the word and throwing, this is what I'm outcome I want. This is what I want. Because sometimes you need to know what caused the problem. Why is that? Why does the problem exist? What is it? Sometimes I found out answers to things. Now that day there in the hospital, nothing. The Lord said, don't worry about it. He said, everything's fine. You're all right. So I knew this, just staying where I'm at. And within hours, I was, man, improving, just doing great. He told me not to worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what's going on. So in other words, I knew. I'm in a test. Hallelujah. And I'm passing. Well, see, I want to know. Did I do something? Did you ever check to find it? Did I do something that ended up causing this problem? You know, many times, and let me just say this. Many times people are sick for a reason, but never find out what the reason is. And they're believing God for healing. They've been going on for years and years, and nothing's changing. And they don't realize it's never been changed, the cause. I learned that. I didn't kind of think of that one myself. I found that out from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin said, most Christians are sick with a cause. And he said, they never find out the cause. That's what he said. So I learned to go, is there a cause? Is there a reason why this is going on? Now sometimes it's not just a physical thing that has caused it. Sometimes it's because things we've done spiritually open the door to some things to come against us. But you have to find that out. You got to find out. You go around and close the door. You think you can go around dealing with what you think. I've watched people. I've done funerals for people who doing what they thought, and they wouldn't listen. Now, one person I tried to tell them and tried to tell them. I knew exactly what their problem was. They would never listen until they end up doing their funeral. They wouldn't listen. No, they had their idea what it was. It wasn't working. It never would work because it wasn't what the problem was. See, we get over, you know, and it comes down to this. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He can exalt you in due time. Humble yourself. You'll find your faith will work a whole lot better when you're really trust. Humility is always trusting in Him. If you're really humble, you're trusting in Him. Your trust is in that place. That's what humility is. Humility is coming, God, you're always right. Once in a while I am. But you're always right. And I want to know what you have to say about this. I want to know what you say. If there's anything I need to change, Lord, you let me know what I need to change. Lord, what do I need to do? If I need to do something, what is it? You know, Jesus talked about, you know, with Mark 11, 24, and then he went on to 25 and 26. Most people stop at 24. If you've got anything against somebody, you get it straightened out. If you ain't walking in love, get it straightened out, your faith won't work. Now, I would say that was probably number one on the list, the fact that he mentioned that. It's one thing you want to look at. Make sure you ain't holding anything against anybody or, you know, you're doing anything. You don't want to do those things. You want to walk in love. See, these are things that hinder health and hinder wholeness. And see, people have that. People have things against other people. There's people that I know had died, and I know it's they died because they walk in love. I'm because of listening to them. They could remember and tell you everything that everybody ever did to them back years ago, and they'd just tell you, you know, they could have, they used to say that these people have dementia. I found a lot of old people, they can remember any bad thing that happened to them. Why? I know why. Because that's all they've ever thought on in their life. They kept those things in the forefront, what somebody did. I don't know what anybody did no more. I'm just trying to get me straightened out. How about you? Let's stand to our feet. You want to get you straightened out, don't you? Hallelujah. See, and God's not doing this to hinder us or against us. He wants you well and whole and sound. He wants your life. He wants you full of life. Full of life. Hallelujah. But He wants you to be able to impart life to others. Have what's in you imparted to other people. Hallelujah. That's our great need. I don't want to be just me have health. I want to be giving it to somebody else. I want to be passing it along. Hallelujah. I want to be able to tell others how to get it and walk in it. Hallelujah. All of us need to become teachers from the standpoint. You know, you should be able to tell somebody how you know. Just like you came here today, you should be able to tell somebody how you got here. Well, if you got healed, some people say, well, I've heard Christians say this. I mean, this is the normal. Well, I don't know how to lead people to salvation. Well, how'd you get there, knucklehead? What do you mean you don't know how to lead somebody to salvation? If you don't, it's probably because you never got none. I mean, it's insanity. What do you mean you don't know how to get there? I got to lead somebody to Christ. That's the dumbest thing in the world. Need a class to tell somebody how to. If I didn't come up and ask you and say, wait, can you tell me how you got here today? Wait, give me a class on roadmaps and we'll tell you. We'd all say, they're insane. Well, the church has been pretty insane. I tried to attend one of those seminars on how to lead people to Christ, and I couldn't stand it. I almost went nuts. I thought, oh my God. It's like, let's get down. You get the life in you, you'll pour life out of somebody. You'll get it. My God. But see, people don't get nothing in them, and we're just trying to do, all this technical stuff. We got all this theories and all this stuff we're trying to get. And I tell you what, if you got life, you can impart it to somebody. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you got life in you. You have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Think about that today, right here, right now. If you're born again, if you have received Jesus Christ, you believe that He died for you. He was raised from the dead for your justification. You've confessed His Lordship. You have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead inside of you. Now, does anybody need power? For your personal life. Now, your personal life, you have the Holy Ghost living. Just think, the wisdom of God, that's why the Bible says that you have the mind of Christ. It never tells you to get the mind of Christ. Never tells you to get it. It tells you you have it. That's why you renew your mind. If you ain't got it, you can't renew it. The Holy Ghost is the mind of Christ. He knows everything the Scripture says that Jesus knows. You have one in you today who knows everything Jesus knows. Everything. And He's living in you. Now, how could He be living in you and you not know it? Well, He could live in you and you not know it because you don't believe what the Word says. See, the Holy Ghost is in me. He's always going to teach me. Hallelujah. I read the Bible. He can't wait to teach. You know, I never understand people trying to struggle to get a sermon. I'm just trying to get one at a time. Usually I got four or five going. Because the Holy Ghost likes to reveal things. He loves to reveal stuff. He loves it. He's a revealer. That's what He is. He can't keep His blab mouth shut about Jesus. He can't. What belongs to Jesus, He just got to talk about it. He has to talk about it. There's no other way. He just has to say it. That's what's inside of you today. It's making alive, it says, your mortal body. Now, how many have a mortal body? Raise your hand. Do you have a mortal body here today? Do you have a mortal body? Now, listen, it says it's making it alive. It says, He didn't say, ask me to make it alive, did He? He said, it's doing it. See, you've got to get your voice in line with what the Bible says. Quit asking God for strength. Stop it. I'm full of strength. How can I have the Holy Ghost live in me?
Man, I'm lacking strength, I'll tell you what. Oh, I just really need help.
You got God, the Holy Ghost, living inside of you, making your body alive. Dear God, hallelujah. What you have in you, let that dawn on your mind. Just let that revelation get into you where that becomes something that is true and real and not just a nice thing to hear today and then walk out the door and say, well, that was really good. That was really nice. You know, where it becomes real. So when you wake up in the morning and you know what? You're feeling tired because that's what's going to happen. It's just like me. You know, I get up here, the anointing comes on me. By afternoon, it wears off, you know. Late afternoon, it wears down. And then I wonder, my God, what was I preaching today? You know, see, you get over in your mind. You get over there and you're thinking, but you know, I got to take the same things. I got to do. I don't have a different battle. I don't get something better than you guys get. I have to fight the same battles with the same word. Amen. I got to stand. That's right. When the anointing's on me, I might feel like I'm brilliant. But I'll tell you, that'll change later. And I'll find out. You know, I'm everybody else. It's the anointing God. God's what separates and makes a difference. But see, I have to walk and live by that Spirit's inside of me. He's working in me and He's helped me. I don't care how I feel. I don't care if I feel anointed. After I got the teaching anointing from Kenneth Hagin in 1982, I was flying over St. Louis, Missouri. Had no sense of having an anointing on me at all. And the Spirit of God said, you're anointed. And He said, don't you ever forget it. No matter how you feel or whatever's going on, it doesn't matter. He said, you never say that you're not anointed. He said, you never say that. And from that time on, I was anointed. From that time on, it mattered not how I felt. I'm anointed of God. And a lot of times I don't feel like I'm very anointed. Hallelujah. But I found this out by walking and saying, when I need the anointing, it comes. Yeah. It comes. When I need the anointing, it comes. Hallelujah. When I needed the anointing, it came. When I was in the hospital, when I needed it, it came. But see, that was all planned ahead. Those were confessions I had made years and years of in advance. I had been saying, I had been walking like that was true. It was no surprise to me. It wasn't no surprise to me that after about an hour or so of having a heart attack, I was instantaneously healed. Every symptom left my body. Everything stopped. It was no surprise. I wasn't shocked. Oh my God, isn't that something? You know, I never even talked to anybody for a while. I don't think I told Wanda about it for a good period of time. To me, that was a very personal experience, me and God. That was a very personal experience. Glory to God. See, there's a place for us to walk, and we're going to go there. We're going there. Now, I was asking to begin the service. See, we got over talking about healing. Now, we need to believe God for it. We have two people that ask about healing. Betty, you would ask. You can come down, Betty. And then you come on down, Rose. Now, healing, these are for other people they're asking for. They have dealing with, Betty has a relative who we're praying for, and you have the grandmother for your wife's mom, their mom's mom. Yeah, okay, grandmother. We're praying for two people. First, I want to ask you this. Are they Christians?